to read, first of all, from the first epistle to Timothy, chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, that's on page 1434. Faithful is the word and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the first. Then over the page on chapter 4 and verse 9, the word is faithful and worthy of all acceptation. And then in the epistle to Titus, the next book, in chapter 3. If we can start at verse 3. For we were once ourselves also without intelligence, disobedient, wandering in error, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and love to man of our Saviour God appeared, not on the principle of works which have been done in righteousness, which we had done, but according to his own mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The word is faithful. I guess we're faced all the time, aren't we, with what's not faithful and what's not truthful, what's not trustworthy. And we see it every day of our life. We see it in our workplace, maybe at school. People that we meet, they aren't always honest. They're not always tell you the truth. They don't always keep their promises, and they often let you down. But what I want to speak about is what Paul writes to Timothy and Titus as to what is the faithful word. It's something that is absolutely trustworthy, and I trust what I say tonight you can take away as absolute. I know it to be true for myself, but I trust you'll find it true. Something that you can trust in personally yourself. What is faithful? So the first scripture I read about in 1 Timothy tells us that faithful is the word. And I guess Bible is the word of God. And I can promise you that what God has said, he will also do. And that we can see just by reading through the whole of the Bible. We can see what God promised right through in the beginning. He's brought about, and it's still present to this day. God has promised things, and they are still for us to see and believe. We've got the creation all around us that we can look at. Chris and I were talking about the stars and the planets, and you know they're there for us to see and witness. They're something that God did. God has given us day and night, sun and moon. He's given us the air we breathe. You know, if it was taken away, we would just expire. Those things that God has promised, he's continued with, and he'll continue with his promises, which is as to our salvation and our eternal life. But the word of God, which is the Bible, and what God has spoken through those that wrote his words down through the Holy Spirit, I can promise you is faithful. If you read, Timothy has got several references to what is the faithful word in this book, and it would be worth you looking them up for yourself. This is one of them where we read, so the word, faithful is the word, and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul adds, whom I am the first. The Lord Jesus, Christ Jesus, came into the world. Many will be remembering that fact, weren't they, at Christmas time, that Jesus was born as a babe and grew up on this earth. You know, what a wonderful thing it is. I think that God should, in his love towards you, should come right down to earth itself, to be with mankind, to show his love towards you, to show his faithfulness and his honesty and truth that he demonstrated every day of his life. The Lord Jesus was perfect and holy and never did anything wrong and was here. He came into the world to save sinners. You know, you and I are sinners. Our very nature is we're sinners. And that's because we've failed and we've sinned and we've done what's wrong in the sight of God. You know, it tells us that the Lord Jesus came here to live a life, and that life was to end in death. And that's the whole purpose of the Lord coming, was to lay down his life for you and for me. Made me think of John's Gospel. It says, "No one has greater love than this, that one should lay down his life for his friends." And it tells us that ye are my friends if you practice whatever I command you. You know, the word is faithful. What God has promised and what he's commanded us to do in the Gospel is to believe on the Lord Jesus and by faith trust in him. And the Lord Jesus is faithful and able and willing to save you if you trust in him tonight. The Lord has laid down his life for you and for me. The Lord led a life here which was perfect. He came right near to mankind in his love. And he went that way which was to end in going to the cross so that you and I could be saved. And how did he do that? I guess Mark's Gospel tells us a little bit about that. Mark's Gospel, you can refer to it if you want to, chapter 10 and verse 45. "For the Son of Man did not come to be ministered to, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many." So the Lord Jesus came, and it tells us in that verse that he didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister. And he did that by laying down his life for you and for me, and to give his life a ransom for many. A ransom, we sung in our hymn, didn't we, about Lord Jesus being our ransom. And a ransom is, I suppose, a payment that's given, isn't it, for our release. And I guess it's used often, isn't it, today, in the wrong sense of people will try and extort money out of somebody to get a ransom to release somebody that's been held in bondage. Lord Jesus has paid our ransom. We're bound by sin, and because of sin, we're at a distance from God. We can't come before God, and there's no means that anything that we can do to bring us back to God. There's only one possible means of us being brought back to God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, who took upon himself, in the sense he substituted himself for and bore our sins in his body on the tree for you and for me if you trust in him. And he did it as a substitution for us, for you, for me, so that we could be made righteous before God. And we're made righteous through the great sacrifice that Jesus did in laying down his life and shedding his precious blood. You know, that's a cost that is enormous. To speak about ransom money, and it's usually a finite amount of money that's asked for. But you know, there's no money can pay the price for my sins and your sins. But Jesus bore it. It cost his whole life. You know that cost. Peter speaks of the Lord Jesus as a precious lamb without spot or blemish. And that was the sacrifice that Jesus bore for you and for me to save us and wash our sins away. And so he's paid the ransom so that we can go free, and the cost has been his life. What a wonderful thing it is that the Lord Jesus could lay down his life for you and for me so that we might be set free forever. So the Lord gave his life a ransom for many. Mm. I guess that verse is interesting, isn't it? For many. Mm. You know, are you included in the many that are in that verse? Mm. You know, the Lord, the work He's done is able for each and every one. Mm. But you know, the opportunity for you to be saved requires you to put your trust in the Lord Jesus, mm. and requires you to have faith, to believe Him, to believe what He's done was personally for you. It's a very personal matter. You don't get saved because you're in a family that are Christians that know the Lord Jesus. You're saved individually by you individually accepting the Lord Jesus for yourself as your Saviour. It's something that we have to believe and something we have to confess. We have to confess the Lord, we have to confess our sins, but we have to believe in our heart that He is able and willing and has done it for you. That's something that requires faith that God gives us to enable us to believe fully and completely. It's not simply accepting or just reciting words that perhaps the preacher says or somebody else tells you to say. You actually have to own them for yourself, and you have to make them very real. It speaks in Jeremiah. I was looking at a scripture there, and I've referred to it, I think, in the Gospel before. Ye shall seek me and find me, for ye shall search me with all your heart. You know, I think that's a very telling scripture, that we need to seek the Lord Jesus, but we need to, as it says there, search for me with all your heart. It's from the heart that we believe. It's from the heart that we make confession unto salvation. What a wonderful thing it is that the Lord has given us absolutely everything to allow us to be saved and to be blessed. So in Timothy chapter 4, again, there's one of the other word that is faithful of all acceptation. You know, I can only tell you about the Lord Jesus. I can tell you it's absolutely true and absolutely perfect, the work that the Lord has done, but you have to accept it for yourself. But I can assure you it's worth it in every way. It's a promise that will never be, you'll never regret. It's a promise that is available for you to accept tonight and trust in forever. I read in Titus, though, which refers to the word being faithful, but it goes through, I guess, the history that we have to go through as a believer, to become a believer. And we need to look back on our lives and see what we truly are as away from God. And this section in verse 3 of Titus chapter 3 tells us a lot of things there, which you perhaps look down and you think, well, I'm not any of those things, or I try not to be. But it's interesting, isn't it, that those are the things that make us at a distance from God. They're all the things that would, if you saw those in one individual, you'd probably want to distance yourself completely from that person. You know, the wonderful thing is that God looks down on us, doesn't He, and sees us in that very state as sinful and away from God. Mm. And then it says, yeah, we were once like that. But when the kindness and love to man of our Saviour God appeared. What a wonderful thing it is that, you know, the God came down in the Lord Jesus to this earth. He appeared to mankind, and He appeared when we were in this awful state as sinners away from Him. You know, as I say, we'd move away, wouldn't we, from somebody that would be described like this and behave like this. And yet God has come right near to you by sending his Son into this world so that you might be saved. And it's a wonderful verse, I think, that when the kindness and love to man, what a wonderful thing it is that our Saviour God appeared. What a wonderful thing Jesus has come and appeared to you and to me. Not physically today, we have to trust and believe it by faith, but the Lord Jesus has made himself known to you so that you might be able to trust in him and believe. And it goes on about several things here, but what I wanted to touch on, it speaks about three things. It speaks about washing in verse 5, regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, which is poured out. Regeneration is, I think there's only two references in the Bible to it. And it means really to a spiritual change that is brought about through, you know, in a person's life, it's brought about through God. And we sometimes think about it as new birth. And I guess it probably is the same idea, really. But it requires simply a change. And I think the gospel is looking for a change in each of our hearts. Mm-hmm. You know, we can hear the gospel and we can, maybe you're affected by what's said, or the conviction of somebody that says what they about the gospel or about their Saviour, and you think, that was wonderful, I wish I could be like that person, or I wish I had the same faith as he did. But if you just leave it at that and you walk away without it actually changing you, then you're not truly saved. The gospel will bring about an enormous change in your life. It will make you a different person. It will make you someone that has got a hope, and we read about this afternoon about running the race, running with endurance the race, and having our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus. And you know, that's what, as a Christian, you'll have a life that will be with its ups and downs and difficulties, but it will be a life with your eye fixed on the Lord Jesus as the goal. And that's a wonderful difference, wonderful change. You won't be going through life swayed about, and when every difficulty comes, taken off into a different direction. The way of a Christian way should be a straight way that leads to life. And that's what is available if you trust in him. And so the change is required. There's a verse that I thought we ought to perhaps refer to in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think it is. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. So if anyone be in Christ, there is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's what's the change, I think, that is expected and is looked for by God in the believer. You know, there is new creation. We are a new person in Christ because we're filled by the Holy Spirit. We've had the change and the effect of our sins being washed away. And that's why in that verse in Titus it speaks about the washing, the regeneration, being born again, the change that's required, and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. And those three things are what's required in the believer to be saved. And the washing is the work that the Lord Jesus has done. The change is the effect that it has on our life, and the effect that it has in our purpose in life, in that we're to follow after the Lord Jesus. And the Spirit is there to help us in that pathway. As we walk through that life, the Spirit gives us every insight into what it is to follow after the Lord Jesus. But he gives us the knowledge and the help in every way to, to be as followers of Christ. And it goes on, doesn't it, there? It's been poured out richly through Jesus Christ, our Saviour, so that we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's the hope that every believer has, that we have life in the Lord Jesus, as trusting in him. And it finishes with those three words, the word is faithful. What a wonderful thing it is. You know, I can only point you to the scripture. What I say, I trust, has pointed you in the right direction as to what a wonderful Saviour the Lord Jesus is. But the word is faithful. That stands for time and eternity. What I say may pass and you may forget it, but the word that God has spoken is faithful and true. You know, if you look through scriptures, right in Revelation as well, the faithful and true it speaks about. That's the God that you have to deal with, the one that is faithful. His word is faithful, the one that you must trust in. May you do so for his blessing tonight, for his name's sake. Amen.